Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.
Welcome to the Marriage and More podcast with your hosts, Sterling and Soretta Smith, where they talk about love, life, marriage, and a whole lot more.
What's up? Welcome to Marriage and More with your host, Sterling and Soretta Smith, where we talk about love, life, marriage, and a whole lot more. Thank you for tuning in to the show this week. I am riding solo, and I tell you, I missed you guys last week. Came down with COVID, was at a convention in Florida, and it turned into a super spreader, unfortunately. And so I have been down in the bed for a couple of weeks now. Today was my first day out, and here we are. So be safe out there. COVID is still alive and well. And again, like I said, this event I was at, it turned into a super spreader with hundreds of people testing positive, and even in the days after, people testing positive. So, you know, take care. If I'm really reevaluating things when I'm out, gonna make sure that I'm masked up, especially if I'm in a large group of people, and I'm going to be making sure that I am selective about events and being around large groups of people. And certainly when I am, gonna make sure that I have on that mask, and make sure that I am social distancing, because, you know, while I had a few trips to the emergency room, I didn't have to be hospitalized, and thank God for that. But nevertheless, it was not fun. I am vaccinated and boosted, and I believe that that is the reason why I didn't experience symptoms worse than what I had. So just wanted to put that out there. It's still COVID, still alive. It's out there, and we just got to, you know, make sure we're being cautious and mindful, especially when you're in large groups of people. So listen, thanks for tuning in to the show. Again, I'm riding solo. You can catch the show on BashaniRadio.com or the Bashani Radio app. You can go back and listen to old shows. We have some great shows out there. And so please tell all your friends, your neighbors, and you can also catch this podcast on all your local, on all of your podcast places where podcasts are being broadcast. Well, listen, I want to talk about something. I've been thinking about this for a minute, and had been contemplating it and talking about it with some folks, and some things sparked and popped off this weekend. And so I know one of the things that we tell you guys that we're Christians, and, you know, sometimes we'll come and we'll talk about, the majority of our show is about marriage, but the And More gives us that space to maybe talk about current things that are going on, things that are trending, things that are happening in the world. And so this weekend, a very prominent pastor, Creflo Dollar, who I have followed for years, you know, I've listened to his teaching for years, came out talking about tithing. And there was a clip that a lot of people have just been playing, like this 1 minute, I think it's maybe a little bit more, a minute or more clip of him talking about his teaching on tithing over the years. And that, you know, if you have any books or tapes or anything that he taught on tithing, you know, to discard it and get rid of it, that everything that he taught, you know, it was not correct or biblical soundly doctrine. And so for those that may be listening and you're not a believer, I just want to give you some context. So in our Christian faith, we've been taught or trained that, you know, we are supposed to give 10% of our earnings, that we give it back to God. And there's, you know, there's been lots of teaching in the years before You know, people saying tithing is not of God. It's not. So I'm not here to debate that. I'm not even here to debate what Dr. Dollar said. What I will say is that I went and listened to the message in its entirety. And I would encourage people to do that. And a lot of times this happens. People come and they give you a screenshot of something, or they play a clip of something, and you don't get to see the full text message or the full email or hear the full conversation. And so you take it out of context, and it appears or it sounds to be one thing when really there's more to the story. And there's, the Bible even talks about that, not to weigh the matter until you've heard, you know, the full story. And I like to talk about there's three sides to every story: their side, your side, and the truth. And so I want to encourage people, if you didn't listen to the message in its entirety, it is on YouTube. You can go listen to it in its entirety. And I think you'll get more understanding and get more in context on what he was saying. And that just goes with anything. I've had people to screenshot me stuff, or, you know, send me a part of an email. And so, you know, do your own research, do your own homework. Don't just take a part of what somebody says. It could be somebody that you love, that you know, that you trust. But a lot of times, especially if people are trying to sway you to their side or sway you to a certain opinion or a certain thought process, they may not share all of the information, because in doing so, it may cause you not to sway or move to their side. So I want to caution you about that. But what really prompted his whole coming out and talking about the tithing, it really prompted me to revisit something that I have been looking at, something called cancel culture. And to define, so let's define, what is cancel culture? It says that cancel culture refers to the popular practice of withdrawing support for, canceling public figures and companies after they have said or done something considered objectionable or offensive. Cancel culture is generally discussed as being performed on social media in the form of group shaming. Let's look at what some other meanings of cancel culture are. That's just one of the meanings of cancel culture. Another meaning of cancel culture is a way of behaving in a society or group, especially on social media, in which it is common to completely reject and stop supporting someone because they have said or done something that offends you. Let's look at another definition of cancel culture, because it has become something that's a little bit even more deeper than that, because not only is it dealing with people who may be celebrities or corporations or companies, it's now, you know, dealing with everyday ordinary people. We're seeing that they are experiencing what we call this cancel culture. It's canceling of people, everyday normal people, not just brands, not just TV shows, not just movies, not just, you know, famous people, but now it is a canceling of everyday ordinary people who have done something or said something, and rightfully so, that may have been offensive or that may have been discriminatory or may have been wrong. I'm not saying that their actions or their behavior was not wrong, but I wanted to talk about this cancel culture. And I really want to deal with it from a Christian perspective, from a biblical perspective, because it just really began to bother me. And I just really began to think about it as a Christian, as a believer. You know, when you start talking about Jesus Christ, and he said that he came to forgive our sins, and he talks about in scripture, when they ask, you know, like, how many times, you know, should we forgive? And he says, you know, 70 times 7, which, you know, means as many times as needed to forgive. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. Forgiven and you shall be forgiven. And so is this thing called cancel culture, is it biblical? Is it something that we, the believer, should support and should stand by? You know, when someone makes an unpopular statement or opinion, should we, you know, should they be silenced forever? Should they be banished forever? Should they be punished forever? That's what cancel culture says. And the counseling goes beyond condemning offending behavior or choosing not to support the person. A lot of times it extends to demands that they be fired from their job. They are disassociated from their peers. Again, they're silenced or banished from public view, and so on. And so at times, modern cancel culture includes deliberately opening the offender up to stalking or physical violence by highlighting or distributing their personal information. So we're talking about, you know, is this biblical? You know, is this, as believers, is this something that we should condone, that we should take part of, that, you know, we should stand in favor of? Because when you counsel somebody, sometimes people lose their jobs. When they're disassociated from their feet, from their peers, sometimes their family is affected by it. It causes them to be in this place of isolation, which then causes depression, anxiety, you know, suicidal thoughts. And so we're going to look at some scriptures and talk about, like, what does the Bible say as believers? What should we be speaking about this cancel culture? You know, because in my opinion, it is not Christ-like. It is not biblical. It does not line up with what the word of God has said about forgiveness, about restoring people, about confessing our sins one to another, about being our brothers and sisters' keeper. And I think that a lot of times, and you know, this is controversial, I'm sure I'm going to get some emails. People are not going to agree. People may even try to throw some scriptures in there. But I like to talk about teaching moments. And I think that a lot of times we can use some of these instances as teaching moments. You know, people are cancel culture. People are canceled because of stuff that they may have said 20, 30 years ago when they were a different person. And so maybe they've grown from that. But a lot of times we don't even hear people out and give people an opportunity to even explain themselves. And so, you know, rather than being a new development, cancel culture is a natural outworking of a post-Christian culture that no longer affirms the values that spread when Christianity spread. And so non-Christian cultures almost always operate using an honor-shame dynamic. And so in this scheme, a person is judged entirely on whether society, meaning other people, approve or disapprove of them. And what matters most is one's adherence to this collective view, and all other issues are secondary. And so those that are considered shamed are punished. Again, they're punished by people through exclusion, ostracizing, persecution, bullying, and even violence. And so some of the same things that the person that's being cult council culture, some of the same things that they may be guilty of doing, you know, we then as a society turn around and do the same things to them. So it goes back to the two wrongs don't make a right. You know, get the pluck out of your eye before you try to get the pluck out of my eye. And so Is it biblical? Is it Christian-like? And again, I don't think that it is. I think it's contradictory to the principles that scriptures command. And so I think it goes without saying that a Christian response to cancel culture should be should be that of Christian principles, and it shouldn't violate Christian principles. And clearly this does. It violates Christian principles. Let's look at Colossians 2 and 8. It says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." Basically, the scripture is telling us, like, look, don't get caught up as believers. We can't get caught up in this council culture. This is something that the world started. This is something that is a part of humanism and not in human tradition. And it's not according to Christ's word. Let's go to Romans 12 and 2. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect." And so as believers, we have to be careful that we don't get caught up in these, these new age or these new terms, or these new, council culture, this new thing that the world is doing, because it is not indicative or does not line up with the word of God. And so we want to make sure that we don't succumb to the opposite extremes. Let's look at some more scripture. Ephesians 4, 14 through 15. "So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by the craftiness and deceitful shames. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head." And so, again, I think a lot of these instances can be teaching moments where we speak the truth in love. For example, Whoopi Goldberg, she recently made some comments a couple of months ago that pertained to or dealt with the Jewish faith. And while she was suspended, her job did suspend her for 2 weeks from the show. I like how the Jewish community reached out. There was dialogue. There was conversation. And they were able to use it as a teaching moment, not just to Whoopi Goldberg, but to the entire world. And so, council culture says fire her. You know, she should have lost her job. You know, we should cancel all of her movies. They should take every movie that she's been in. You know, they shouldn't be on television anymore. And so that just does not align with the scriptures and what the scriptures tells us. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4 and 2. It says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will succumb, for they will accumulate for themselves teachers to their suit." And so, you know, this is unpopular. I know this is going to be an unpopular podcast. I know people are going to be like, "Hey, you know, when you talk about Karens and, Karen got fired from her job. Karen got what she deserved." You know, I'm not saying a lot of the things that we've seen play out, especially as it relates to making false accusations, getting people arrested, especially in the culture we live in where those accusations could cost somebody their life. I'm not saying that any of that is right. But what I am saying is this cancel culture, I think that we as believers, we need to make sure that we are not getting caught up into this because, you know, there's three things that I want to talk about. Okay, three aspects of the honor shame system and modern cancel culture. First, these attitudes leave little to no room for redemption. All right, the dishonorable label is effectively permanent. Look at Will Smith. You know, I believe he's experiencing cancel culture. And we can talk about this all day long. Was he right to walk up on that stage and slap Chris Rock? Absolutely, he was not. But when you look at the sum total of his life, does he deserve to be canceled because of one thing that he did? If that's the case, if cancel culture is what we're condoning and we're believing, well, my goodness, if that's the case, then because the Bible says that we all sin, we all have sinned, we all will continue to sin and fall short of the glory of God. And so if that's the case, if every time we did something wrong, God canceled culture and he's like, it's over, you know, you're done, it's a wrap, then the whole world would be condemned, right? And so this dishonorable label that is put upon people that is permanent is to say that they can't be redeemed. Well, my Redeemer lives. Jesus Christ, he's the Redeemer. He's the one that lives. You know, he's the one that judges the heart. He's the one, God is the one that has the authority to condemn somebody to heaven or hell. We don't have that authority. We don't have that power. And so who are we, if God can forgive people, then who are we to put this label of dishonor on them and say it's forever and that they should forever be banished and they should never be given an opportunity or a chance again to redeem themselves. And so, you know, this even applies, even if I talked earlier, even if the offense was committed a long time ago. And the person's life since then reflects a changed perspective. We still want to counsel culture about something that, you know, a tweet or a text message or an email from 10 or 15 years ago. And so, you know, only acts of self-destruction and self-debasement or no-towing can restore some of the shamed party's status. And so shame extends to anyone associated with the guilty party. Also, that could be their family members. That could be their friends. That could be their employers or their coworkers. All right. And so we just need to really, really be careful. And so there's three ways that I believe believers should ought to resist cancel culture. Number one, having the humility to accept differences of opinion. All right. I've said this before that we have to learn that we're not always going to agree and we have to be okay to agree to disagree sometimes. And just because people don't agree with us, I don't think that's a justification for cancel culture. All right. So we got to have the humility to accept differences of opinions, approaching disagreements with reason and caution. You know, we have to approach them. A lot of people don't like confrontation or they don't like conflict, rather. People don't like conflict. And I say conflict is good. It's how you approach the conflict. We can have conflict and approach it in a respectful manner. Our body language, the tone of our voice, it doesn't have to be aggressive. It doesn't have to be adversarial, you know. And when you come to the table that way, then you've got some other issues that need to be resolved, okay? Allowing for the possibility of redemption. You know what? Jesus Christ came. He said he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly here in this earth. But he came to redeem us from the grave, death, and hell. I mean, before Jesus Christ came, we were doomed. We were a doomed world. And God sent his son Jesus to come and to redeem us from death, the grave, death, and hell, so that we might have the right to eternal life and to salvation, redemption. I love that song by Nicole. I can't think of her last name, though, but she says, I know that my Redeemer lives. And so we cannot take the possibility of a redemption away from people. Like, who are we? Who do we think we are? You know, Jesus Christ died on the cross so that everybody would have the right to eternal life, that everybody has that right to be redeemed. All right. And these are principles taken directly from the Bible. All right. So cooperating with popular opinion is not automatically the same as honoring God. I'm going to say that again. Cooperating with popular opinion is not always the same as honoring God. Let's go to Acts 5:29. But Peter and the apostle answers, we must obey God rather than man. I know this is not going to be a popular stance, but I have to obey God rather than man. And I am standing up and saying that council culture does not align with Christian values. And as believers, we should not condone council culture. It is not in line with God's word. Each individual person is ultimately judged by God and not by other people. Come on, let's read Romans 12 and 9. It says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Romans 14 and 4. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or fails, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Listen, a lot of those people that we cancel culture on, you know, we need to repent when we do things and say things that are wrong. We need to go before God and we need to repent. And, you know, God is able to make us stand again. All right. 1 Corinthians 10 and 29. It says, I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by somebody else's conscience? Again, you know, who am I to say that, you know, somebody, to counsel somebody and just say, do away with them, silence them, you know, we're going to ostracize them. We're not going to have anything else to do with them. Right and wrong still exists, but we cannot claim infallible judgment. John 7 and 24, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. All right. 1 Samuel 16 and 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And so every one of us is prone to error. Proverbs 14, 29, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Proverbs 18, 13, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. And so we're all prone to error and should approach disagreements with caution. We're going to have a difference of opinions. And a difference of opinions is possible. Romans 14 and 1. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but do not quarrel over opinions. The Bible's clear. It tells us here about quarreling over opinions. Okay. And so, you know, we're going to have a difference of opinions without the person being labeled wicked. You know, just because somebody disagrees with us, we don't have to label them as being wicked. All right. Ephesians 4 and 15 again, rather speaking the truth in love. We ought to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. All right. 1 Peter 3, 15 through 17, it says, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. This is the problem that we have right now in our country. Everybody is aggressive and hostile, and there's so much hate. And again, it really reveals what's in the heart, because the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Because as Christians, we're told right here in this passage, 1 Peter 3, 15 through 17, it says, you know, that we can come together and have conversation, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, you know, those who revile, people that come out and speak against you, you know, you have been gentle and you have been respectful. All right. And so he tells us here that in our hearts to honor Christ, the Lord is holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason, for the hope that's in you. Yet he's telling us that he wants us to do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, when those who do revile your good behavior in Christ, it won't be put to shame. All right. And so, again, some think that cancel culture is the same thing as biblical separation from worldly systems. But these are two separate ideas. And it is true that we are told, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eye and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whosoever does the will of God abides forever. All right. And so A lot of people think council culture is the same thing as church discipline, all right? But this is not true, because in the church, when leaders have to discipline people, they don't publicly, you know, exclude them from fellowship, or public rebuke is only done after there's been a personal confrontation and multiple opportunities to repent and to restore that person to their purpose. And so it's not about canceling the person, right? We're not in the business of canceling people. We're in the business of edifying, exhorting, and encouraging people. We are in the business of correcting people and and showing people, you know, when they are not walking according to or in line with the word of God. But we do that in a way that's loving, not in a way that tears people down or that speak evil against people, to ostracize people and things of that nature. And so, again, you know, this whole council culture has been something that's been on my heart. I remember having, again, a few conversations with some leaders about it, and they agreed with me, you know, according to our Christian faith, council culture is not Christ-like. And so I just, again, I wanted to talk about this tonight. I wanted us to be sure. I want to give us something to think about, because these also can be teaching moments for us in the body of Christ. You know, when we're in conversations with our neighbors, with our family, in organizations that we are a part of, it's an opportunity to speak up and to share, you know, this whole thing of council culture. And again, I'm not saying we don't hold people accountable. If people break the law, they need to be held accountable. If people are exhibiting behavior that is discriminatory and racist and all of these things, they need to be held accountable. But in the instances where it doesn't result in, you know, criminal charges and them being arrested and put in prison, where it's offenses that are not that serious, I think we can use those as teaching moments. To bring awareness, first of all, to the person of their offense, of their behavior, of their actions, of their words, and to really help them see the error of their ways, because there's something going on. There's a heart issue there. And so it's an opportunity for us, and then it's an opportunity for us to demonstrate the love of God, the forgiveness of God, to demonstrate the restoration, the reconciliation, all of those things that we are ministers of the gospel. All of those things are things that we're supposed to be doing, reconciling people, helping to restore people. All of those things are things that we're supposed to be doing. So, you know, I'm looking forward to emails, comments, feedback on this whole council culture. And I hope that I've given you something to think about on tonight. I look forward to connecting and talking more about it. Next week, Sterling should be back on the show, and we'll be back on track, and we're going to be bringing some special guests on. I'm really excited about having my first celebrity guest. We're going to have a celebrity guest and his wife on, and so really excited about that. And listen, share this. I really, really want to hear your feedback. And again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule to tune into the show. We appreciate you. We couldn't do what we do without you, the listeners. And we thank you so much. Thank you for your thoughts, your prayers, to all of those who sent text messages, who called to check on me while I was going through the whole COVID crisis. We appreciate it. We appreciate, shout out to Bashani Radio, the motivator, Benny Randall. We thank you always for your support and your concern, sir. And so, listen, I'm going to end the show talking about our marriage mantra that goes a little something like this. It says, the more you put in your marriage, the more you're going to get out of your marriage. And we'll be back next week with Sterling and Soretta talking about marriage and a whole lot more. Stay tuned after the show to hear about how you can follow Sterling and I on social media. Until next time, we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Marriage and More podcast with Sterling and Soretta Smith. Follow Sterling and Soretta on Instagram and Facebook at Marriage and More with Sterling and Soretta.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.